Let's open our Bible to Psalms chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse 1. As Jim was reading there in Job, about God asking Job these questions, this psalm begins with a question. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us." Here in these first three verses, we have a description of the hatred of our human nature against Christ and his God. He said, "Why do the heathen rage?" Can mention and can represent all men and all lost men. Why do they rage? Why do the creatures, why does man in this world rage and against their Creator? Why are they up in arms against God? Why do the heathen rage, roaring like the sea, tossed to and fro? Why? Romans 1:21, because. He answers his own question. Why do they rage? Because that when they knew God, Romans 1:21, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful that he was God. But they became vain in their imaginations. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That's what they imagine. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They profess themselves to be wise, but they become fools. And changed, here's what they did, the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And because of that, God gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. We don't like God. We don't want God, and we don't want anything to do with God. And we're going to let it be known. Why do the heathen rage? It's not something that they keep inside. They want everybody to know it. They're open about it. They change the truth of God into a lie, or they exchange the truth of God for a lie. And they worshiped and served, not only worship, but they served the creature more than the Creator who created them, who is blessed forever. Amen. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Because they hate God. And that's all men by nature apart from grace. They rage. You notice our verse 2, the kings of the earth, they set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, they set themselves. This is not just some temporary rage. This is a deep-seated hatred. They're set in what they're setting their ways. Set in their ways. They take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. When the morning was come, the chief priests and elders took counsel against Jesus. How are we going to put him to death? They said, let's break his bands asunder. We don't want him controlling us. We don't want him telling us what to do. They won't bow down. They say, let us be free to commit all manner of abomination. We don't want any restraints. Any. Let us be our own gods. Let's rid ourselves of every restraint. You know why laws are given? Restraints. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for an unrighteous man. We have speed limits as restraints. You break the law, there's punishment. There are restraints. But when you don't enforce the law, there's no restraints. They don't want any restraints. Don't tell me what I can do and what I can't do. Let us cast away as if it was just an easy matter. They can't cast away their conscience that accuses them or else excuses them unless God just gives them over to a reprobate mind. They said, let us fling off their cords from us. We don't want the restraints. This is what they want. This describes them. Do these people who counseled together, do they think they are Samson? That they can just break the cords? No, you can't just break the restraints. Psalm 76:10, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Even their rage praises him. And the remainder of their wrath God restrains. They're what? He does what? Restrains them. They want to cast off his restraints, but he restrains them. They can just go only as far as he lets them. It's just like Shimei cursing David. God let him do it, but eventually his foot did slide in due time. I want us to go and turn, if you would turn to Acts chapter 4. I was studying this, I forgot about this, where Peter and John had, remember when they were going into the temple, the man was laying there begging for alms. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And they was such a disturbance over what God had done for that man. They couldn't stand it. They heard what he had done, and these people, they said, we're going to stop this. Verse 1 of chapter 4 of Acts. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees, they came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. But watch this. That's what they planned to do. That's what they did. Now look in verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. They didn't like what they heard. They didn't like where this was going. So they said, we're going to stop it. But even in them doing that, many of them which heard the word believed. And how many believed? And the number of the men was about 5,000. Saved 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. 5,000? 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that there... Now watch this. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They said, we're going to cast off his cords. We don't want this Jesus. We don't want his gospel. We don't want anything to do with those who preach the gospel. And Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. They all came and gathered together. Why? We're going to stop this. We're going to put an end to this. We're not going to let this go on. We're not going to let it spread any farther, any further. And when they had set them in the midst, talking about Peter and John, they asked them, of what power, or by what name have you done this? Who gave you this authority? Now look, verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, oh, they know who he is, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set in all to you builders and has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, And they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They said, we're going to stop it. But look how God began to save men. And these men, they could not deny that they had been with Christ. And beholding the man, which was healed, standing with them, they could not say anything against it. Here he stands whole. Here's the evidence. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of their council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people. Here's what we're going to do. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak hence no more in his name. You can't preach in Jesus' name anymore. You can't talk about that Jesus of Nazareth. He's dead and we want him to stay dead. And they called them, verse 18, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Well, why do the heathen rage? That's what they're doing. They're raging. They're madder than a hornet. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, watch this, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. They just threatened them, finding nothing how that they might punish him because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And the man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was showed. Now what are they going to do? I guess, John, we just better not preach anymore. They've threatened us, you know. I guess we just better quit. That ain't what they did. You know where they went? They didn't go home and feel sorry for themselves. They went to where God's people were gathered together. It said, in being let go, they went to their own company. And they reported and they told everybody there all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. They said, here, they told us not to preach anymore. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And they said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all things therein. They said, you're God. And if it makes them mad, it makes them mad. Now watch this. Here they're going to quote from Psalms chapter 2. Verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, but watch this, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all gathered together. All of them came together from different races. They're all gathered together. Why? For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They know God's on the throne. They preached him on the throne. And that's what men don't like. That's why they rage. Now, they don't mind for you to be religious. They don't mind for you to go to church. They don't mind for you to read your Bible. They don't mind for you to say your prayers. But just don't know the Lord. They don't want the violent to take you by force. You talk too much about that Jesus of Nazareth. Don't talk about him. And when they get together, all they do is want to talk about him. And he turns to Psalms chapter 2 and he quoted what I've just read to you. And it encouraged their hearts. God's going to do whatever his counsel had determined before to be done. Instead of their persecution, stopping them, 5,000 souls were saved. They imagine that they're going to stop it. Men imagine that if we threaten you, you'll be afraid. God's not given us the spirit of fear. Peter, he's just a fisherman. He's just a frail creature, but he's not afraid of them. You know why? They saw their boldness. They took knowledge had been with Christ. He said, we can't help but to speak the things that we've seen and heard. Verse 29, And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They're threatening us, Lord. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. As Jim said, it's a fearful thing to stand here. We're just all, whether it's me or Paul or anybody standing here to read the scripture, we're just frail men. But God grant us the boldness to speak forth his word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, because they know him. And they don't have to be afraid. They don't have to be intimidated. So why did the heathen rage? I guess they think if they rage enough, you'll quit. I think about David when he comes up and his father sent him out there to check on his brothers. They're out there, they're going to go fight Goliath. And nobody's fighting. They're just standing there talking back and forth. And those Goliath, he's standing there mocking God and mocking the people of God. And David comes up and he goes, who's this guy? He said, you don't know who he is? He said, he's Goliath. And he's been doing this for 40 days. He's basically saying, your God's nothing. Why don't you send a man down here to fight me? And if he wins, we'll be your servant. Or if I win, then you'll be our servant. And David's brother said, why did you come up here? Who's watching them few little sheep? You know what? David's presence made them uncomfortable. Why was his brothers raging? And why was this giant, why was he raging? He hated God. And David says, I'll go take care of him. Why did he have boldness? He said, the same God that delivered a lion and a bear into my hands, he's going to give me that giant too. And he goes down there and he hits that giant with a stone and he goes up and takes his own sword and cuts his head off and he comes walking up out of that valley with that head, that old bloody head in his hand, carrying that sword. Why did the heathen rage? And they imagine a vain thing. Now they're running. Why? God's on the throne. God's on the throne. Verse 4. Oh, what they planned to do. Oh, they counseled together. And oh, we're going to stop the gospel. We're going to hinder this. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. And the Lord shall have them in derision. Same word. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. They wanted to do away with him. If they could, they would jerk God off the throne. Yet, in spite of all that they've done, I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. He that sitteth in the heavens, he sits. He sits resting. He sits ruling. He's going to laugh. He'll have them in derision. He's undisturbed. Wherefore should the heathen say, Psalms 115, verse 2 and 3, they say, where is now their God? That's what the heathen say. Where is your God at? I heard someone say years ago, and it may have been, I heard Henry say it on a message. I think it's when his daughter died. You remember, she died of cancer, Bob Coffey's wife. And, you know, somebody came up and wanted to mock a little bit. They wanted to poke fun. They said, where's your God at now? Where's your God at now that, you know, your daughter died? He said, he's where he's always been. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. See, they don't know our God. Our God's, you imagine, we're grasshoppers. And you think you're going to stop God. God says, yeah, I'm going to laugh. The word laugh and derision are the same word. Derision, to make a laughing stock. I know some of you have probably seen pictures. They did this back in the years ago, back in the 1500s. Back then, they would put people into stocks. Even some of the Puritans would do this. They would take them in the middle of town, like down here at the Ripley, in front of the courthouse, and they would put their feet in stocks, and they'd put their hands in stocks, and they'd have to sit there. And everybody passed by would just laugh at them. They were a laughing stock. They were the butt of all joke. He's going to have them in derision. He's going to have them in derision. It says, the feeling that someone or something is unworthy of one's consideration or respect. An instant of fierce public criticism or opposition. You know where it said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated? He didn't even consider Esau. He loved Jacob. Those that he don't even consider them. Don't even consider them. Matthew Henry said, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Now listen. Sinners' follies are the just sport of God's infinite wisdom and power. And those attempt of the kingdom of Satan, Satan tries to come against his kingdom, which in our eyes it may seem so strong, but in God's eyes are just despicable. Listen, Psalms chapter 37, verse 12 and 13. The Lord, the wicked plotteth against the just. They plot. Did you know Satan lays snares for you? Doesn't the scriptures talk about that? He wanted to catch Job. He wants to catch you. He lays plots and snares. He wants to trip you up. And he gnashes upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. King Saul tried to lay plots for David. Traps. Psalms 59:8, but thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Most of you know Proverbs chapter 1. I've stretched out my hand all the day long. All the day long. And you know what you did? You smacked it. I don't want your help. I don't need your help. I don't want your God. I don't need your God. God said, okay. He said, I stretched out my hand all the day long. And you didn't want it. You despised it. One day you're going to call. And I won't hear. And I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. How does God laugh? He and I thought, you know, he's not like us. But he speaks in terms that we can kindly understand. There's some examples of this in the scripture, I think. You remember Elijah standing on Mount Carmel in front of all these false prophets. And Elijah said, here, you guys go first. Here's a sacrifice. Here's an altar. You all pray to your God. And when you're done, I'll pray to my God. And whichever God rains fire down from heaven is the true God. They said, okay. They go out there and from early morning till noon, they're, oh, Baal, hear us. Oh, Baal, hear us. And here's what Elijah said. And the people, in 1 Kings 18, verse 27, and it came to pass at noon, Elijah mocked them. And he said, cry louder. For he's a God. Either he's talking or he's pursuing or he's on a journey or someone said maybe he's gone to the bathroom. Or peradventure he's asleep. He's got to be awake. And we read that and we do laugh. He's basically laughing at him, isn't he? He's mocking him. Where's your God at? He is no God. They have a mouth and they speak not. They have ears, they hear not. They have eyes and they see not. Laugh. They pray to a God who cannot save. Laughs. You think you're going to stop me? You think you're going to stop the Son of God? Pharaoh thought that. How am I going to stop this? They're getting too large. They're getting too big. If they keep going on, they're going to... When an enemy comes, they're going to side with the enemy and they're going to overtake Egypt. We can't have that. Here's what we're going to do. Every baby boy that's born is going to be drowned in the Nile River. That's what I'm going to do. Why did he rage and imagine a vain thing? Okay, that's what he did and that's what he's doing. A little baby named Moses is born. And God revealed to him, take that baby and you put it in an ark and put it among the bulrushes. And Miriam, his sister, is going to stand by and watch that baby. What's God going to do? Just so happened, here comes Pharaoh's daughter. And she sees the basket and says, bring the basket here. And opens it up. And she sees a little baby. And I think about the time she opened it, it started to cry. She said, this is one of them Hebrew babies. If I tell them, why don't I just throw it back in the river? Why don't I just drown it or tell my daddy? Oh, no. Here's what I'm going to do. And about that time, Miriam comes up. And she said, looked at Miriam and said, won't you go get somebody to nurse this baby? She went and got the baby's mama. Well, then you know what? Then he takes it and he's going to be raised in Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh's going to pay for all of his education. You know what that is? God laughing. Isn't it? This is what he planned on doing. And God said, I'm just going to laugh. Men rage and they complain and they said, God's going to sit. God that sits in the heavens just laughs. Thou shalt speak unto them in his wrath and shall vex them in his sore displeasure. Let me tell you this. Now, you get this morning. God doesn't think it's a laughing matter the way you treat his son. As I was telling Sandy what I was going to try to preach on this morning, I said, you know, I ought to title their message, Who Gets the Last Laugh? Who gets the last laugh? They laugh, don't they? They say that the preaching of the gospel is foolish, and they just laugh. They said that's old stuff. We got to build us a family life center. We got to do something besides preaching. It just won't get the job done anymore. God just laughs. They think they have all the numbers, and they think they're laughing. They say, oh, we've got it all figured out. They don't have anything figured out. Listen, in Matthew chapter 21, verse 36, talking about our Lord sending his servants, he sent his prophets to Israel. He sent them, kept sending them. And he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent them his son. He said, they'll reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw and knew that it was the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come let us kill him, and we're going to seize on his inheritance. And they called him and cast him out of the vineyard, and they slew him. And the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh. What will he, when the Lord there cometh, what's he going to do to those husbandmen? They killed his son. They say unto him, well, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen who will render him the fruits of their season. He'll take care of them. Vengeance is mine, he said, I will repay. What I want you to see, they do everything they can to try to stop him from ruling. Herod would have killed him when he was a child. And if they had had their way about it, they would have took our Lord out in some back alley and they would have killed him. That's what they would have done. And when that didn't work, they got everybody together against him. Everybody. Kill him. We're going to stop him. But he, through death, destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and set his people free. Verse 7. I will declare the decree of the Lord. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten of thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. It was custom among great kings to give favored ones what they asked. We'll get to this in the book of Esther. Listen, in Esther chapter 5, verse 6. The king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom shall it be performed. He said, I want the heathen and the uttermost parts of the earth for mine inheritance, and they're his. They're his. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. He's going to break them with a rod of iron. That's not his inheritance or those he's chosen from among the Gentiles, his elect, but those stubborn and rebellious ones among the heathen all over the world. They despise his commands. They despise Christ. Behold the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but upon thee goodness. Goodness. You know what he's going to do? He's going to break them to pieces. And when he breaks something in pieces, there's no recovering. They're just potsherds. Listen, Isaiah 4, 45, verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Let them strive with the rest of them. They're all just a bunch of potsherds, a bunch of pots made out of clay. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or to thy work? He hath no hands. He makes it according to his will. He makes one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. And the Lord gave his son a rod of iron. The gospel, an iron rod, is quite able to break mere pots of man's making. It destroys them. He will break, listen, the rebellious nations in pieces. What does he use? The gospel. Those who won't bend, he breaks. Potter's vessels are not to be restored if dashed in pieces. And the ruin of sinners will be hopeless if Jesus smites them with his rod. Listen, you sinners, seek his grace, whose wrath you cannot bear. Fly to the shelter of his cross and find salvation there. Now verse 10 through 12. It's amazing how he ends with the gospel. He's talked about what they plan on doing and how he hinders them and stops them and how he set his king upon his throne. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. He said, would y'all listen? Would you be instructed? Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Don't rebel, bow down and serve him. Serve him with fear. Someone said, fear without joy is torment. And joy without holy fear would be nothing more than presumption. Our Lord is to be respected and honored. Well, then look what he says. Here's my advice to all of us here this morning. Kiss the Son. Embrace the Son. Not as Judas, who walked up and claimed to be his equal and kissed him on the cheek and went to hell. Oh, that as the Song of Solomon says, oh, that he would kiss us with the kisses of his mouth, that we would have communion and he would embrace us. Kiss the Son. Watch this, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. What way? There's a way to life. There's a way that seems right unto a man, and men will perish from the way and they'll never be able to find the way. You think about that. God hides the way. They don't want to walk in the way. God says, okay, you go your own way. I'll send you strong delusions and you'll believe a lie. And they'll perish from the way. Perish. When his wrath is kindled but a little. He's a God of grace. He delights to show mercy. He sits upon the throne. He earned a sovereign right to rule over all men. The heathen and the uttermost parts of the earth are his. But one day, he's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and believe not the gospel. when his wrath is kindled but a little. Look at this and we'll close. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They set themselves up, break his bands. What? Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Blessed are they that bow to him. And we are like the woman who come up and we kiss his feet. We bow at his presence, and that's our salvation. Oh, that God would deliver men, that men would see Christ and bow to him and cry out for mercy. And that's the blessed man. Amen.